We're in the book of Jonah, chapter 3. I'll take my text from the fifth verse of the chapter. Jonah 3, verse 5. I'd like you to take the time to read the chapter again yourself, maybe later this afternoon. Look at what it says. Jonah 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believe God. That's an interesting statement. It's not that they believed Jonah, and they did believe what Jonah said, but ultimately their belief was in God. They accepted him as God's man, God's messenger, and what he delivered was God's word to them. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. As you know, we lived in the Principality of Wales for just a little over 9 years. One of the things that Wales is known for in the past, sadly not known for today, is the fact that it was the land of revivals. Wales is a land perhaps more than any other that has been blessed with the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Just to give you some idea, from about 1735 through to about 1850 or 1859, the time of the great revival that swept this province as well, in that period of time, about 125 years, there was no less than 17 major outpourings of the Spirit of God in that little land of Wales. There was also, in addition to those major outpourings, some local smaller movings and stirrings of the Spirit of God here and there across the land. A land that had experienced revival. How blessed it was. It's like the church in Sardis today. The church in Sardis, the Bible says that it had a name to live and is dead. And that's the sad condition of the Principality of Wales. It is that name of past blessing, but today it's dead. There's dearth and barrenness that is found all around. But I want you to think of a place that had experienced a mighty reviving move of God. And in this meeting, we're going to think of another place that experienced revival. We're going to think of the city of Nineveh. The title, as we had given it to you last Sunday and through the week, is Revival at Nineveh. That's today's theme for the Bible study. Can I say to you, men and women, don't make the mistake that revival is a fairly recent thing. What I want you to see, one of the lessons I want you to learn from the chapter today, is that revival is a biblical principle. Revival is something that's taught. Revival is something that happened in Bible times. Revival is something that you have examples of, many examples given to us in the Scriptures, even in the days of the Old Testament. Don't overlook that fact. This passage of Scripture records for us, and this passage of Scripture gives us an example of a revival. Today, we have read in Jonah 3, verse 5, we have read of God moving in great power. I want you just to think of those words. It says they proclaimed a fast and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least. Isn't that quite a statement of what was happening in Nineveh? There was such a move of the power of God. A fast was proclaimed through the city, through the kingdom. And the whole city, from the man at the top, from the greatest right down to the least in the city, turned to God in repentance. I want to point out to you, men and women, that this revival in the Old Testament is unique. This revival in Jonah. You ask, why is that? Because this is the only Gentile revival recorded in the Old Testament Scriptures. Remember that the Jews, the people belonging to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. In addition to the Jewish people, there's the Gentiles, all the other peoples, all the other nations of the world. Well, in the days, the period of the Old Testament, this was the only Gentile revival recorded. Every other revival you'll read of in the Old Testament, it was a move among the Jewish people themselves. And I want you to see that this was the second revival that's found in the book of Jonah. The first was back in chapter 1 among the sailors on the ship. Do you remember what happened? There was an awakening. There was a turning to God of all of those sailors, of all of those mariners that was found on the ship with Jonah. So it's clear, men and women, this is a prominent theme. This is something that's a prominent subject in the book of Jonah, revival. And we do well to study it. Can I say to you, whenever you're studying a book of the Bible yourself, and you ought to be doing that from time to time, when you study a book of the Bible, look for the themes. Every book of the Bible has prominent themes. Themes that are unique to that particular book of Scripture. And here's one of the themes. Mr. Douglas, in his in-depth Bible class when we were studying in the college, he would want you to write the letter F beside your notes. He would describe it as a feature. Here's a feature of this particular book. Well, I want you to see this particular feature of the book of Jonah. The references to revival, to the stirrings and to the movings of God. You know what happened here in Nineveh? It's often described as one of the greatest revivals ever. And you know, men and women, there's no exaggeration in that. Why is it described as one of the greatest revivals ever? Because of the size of the revival. Because of the extent of the work that was done. The whole city, from the least to the greatest, turned to God. You ever known that? Think of what it would be like if Armagh, and remember Armagh by comparison in size is very small to the city of Nineveh. But think if we had such a revival here in this city, men and women. I want you to see this passage. I want you to get an idea. I want you to get a vision, men and women, of what God can do. And that's where I want your focus to be. It's what God can do. We can do it if God is with us, if He leads the way, if His presence is known, if His blessing is experienced. But I want you to see, men and women, get a vision here this morning of what God can do in a city, of what God could do in this city, the change that can take place under the mighty preaching of the gospel of Christ. Our God can bring multitudes to Himself. Our God can bring multitudes to mourn and to repent over their sin. He can move an entire city. It's not a staggering thought. A city that was heathen. A city that had no thought for the things of the Lord. And He moved that entire city. He turned that entire city unto Himself. I pray today that this study, I pray, men and women, that this message will give you a renewed interest and a renewed burden for revival in the day in which we live. Some things just about this revival. Notice first the place of the revival. Verse 5, it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Remember that this revival came to Nineveh. Nineveh was an ancient city, one of the first ever mentioned in the Bible. Nineveh was the capital of the kingdom of Assyria. The revival came to Nineveh. You ask me what sort of place was Nineveh? Well, in describing Nineveh, strong words, strong language would have to be used. Nineveh was a place of wickedness. Nineveh was a place of great evil. You think of what is said in chapter 1. What the Lord Himself said about the city, their wickedness has come up before me. I want you to see, men and women, this was not a quiet, decent, law-abiding community. Nineveh was a very sinful city. Look especially at the end of verse 8. of the chapter. It says at the end of verse 8 that from the violence that is in their hands, there's the chief sin. There's the chief crime of this city, of this place. These people were cruel people. This was a city known for fighting. A city that was known for bloodshed. A city that was renowned for destruction of property. Brethren and sisters, this is the place. This wicked, evil, violent city. This is the place that God sent revival to. Does not encourage you today. Does not give you hope as we face the future. If God could visit Nineveh mightily and powerfully, then brethren and sisters, God can visit us. God can visit Armagh. God can visit Ulster in the dark day in which we live. That's what the Lord wants you to see. That's what the Lord wants you to learn. That's the encouragement the Lord wants you to receive as you look and study from this passage of His Word. You think, what has this land of ours been known for the last 30 or 40 years? What has this land of ours been known for around the world? Is it not the same as Nineveh? Known for its violence, the murder, the shootings, the maimings, the bombings. This area in which we live, Armagh, South Armagh in particular, known as bandit country. Some of the greatest atrocities of the Troubles taking place in this county. You think of last week in the city of Belfast, the city getting back to the old ways, the shootings, the kneecappings, violence still found in the land. But men and women, be encouraged. Be encouraged from this portion. God can still send revival. Remember the words of the scriptures? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is Armagh in this day in which we live too hard? Is Northern Ireland in the day in which we live too hard for the Lord to visit? Too hard for the Lord to send revival to? The answer, of course, is no, it's not. Think of Mr. Nicholson, how his ministry is often described, that he turned the province from civil war to revival blessing. And I tell you, men and women, that's what's needed again today. That's the great need of the hour. And remember, God did it before. And I want you to be encouraged by that knowledge this Sabbath morning. Can I emphasize something to you? Very, very important. The only thing that will save Ulster, the only thing that will save this land, this country of ours, is revival, men and women. Never forget that. And it's only when that truth grips your heart, it's only when that burden rests upon you heavily, it's only then that you will seek God for revival, as you should. I want to urge you, men and women, I want to urge the young people in the church as well, especially, give your time, give your energy, give first place to the gospel, because that is what our city and that is what Ulster needs most of all. The place of revival. Think in the second place of the personnel of revival. Look again at verse 5 of the chapter. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. I want you to think as well of what it says about Jonah just in the previous verse, verse 4. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. Think of the personnel that God uses in revival. It's something to note, something to be of interest. Every revival has a revivalist. God raises up a man. Like I mentioned Wales to you again, 1904. The last great revival that took place in Wales was in that year, now well over 100 years ago. Evan Roberts was the man that the Lord used. He's known in Wales as the revivalist. That's the ministry. That's the work that God gave him to do. And you know the interesting thing about Evan Roberts, when the Lord raised him up, he was only a lad, just 22 years of age. Every revival has a revivalist. And the lesson, men and women, here is And it's important, don't miss it. God uses people. God uses human instruments. And you know something? It's right up to date. Because the Lord wants to use you. He wants to use every brother, every sister in this congregation this morning. Isn't it a wonder, men and women? Isn't it a mystery? Remember, He's the God that's in need of nothing. The Lord doesn't have to use men. But yet He does. He chooses to use us in the furtherance of His purposes. That's a great mystery. Great mercy. You ask, why is that? I think the only answer we can give today is, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And what you see, we've touched on it in some of the previous studies already, but what you see here is what God can do with a frail human instrument. The Lord used this man. The Lord used Jonah. The man that was stubborn. The man that was wayward. The man that was rebellious. The man that had no missionary spirit, no missionary vision. And maybe that's true of some Christians in the meeting today. No missionary vision. No thought of the perishing souls in other lands. He had no missionary spirit. His heart wasn't in the work that he was doing. It's not a marvel that this man going through the streets of Nineveh preaching, and yet his heart wasn't in the work that he was doing, and yet the Lord used him to see multitudes turn to God. And I want you to see, men and women, young people today, the Lord could use you. He could use you in exactly the same way. Even though you failed, even though you faltered, even though perhaps you've gotten away from God, if you'll repent of the sin and come back to Him and be restored, He'll take you up and He'll make the vessel anew. You think of Peter, the day of Pentecost. What a meeting. What a message. 3,000 saved. And remember, men and women, it was after Peter failed, it was after he denied the Lord, that he became such a revival preacher. You know one of the wonders of that meeting? If there was 3,000 converted, 3,000 saved, how many was there not in the meeting? How many was there not in the congregation? Peter taken up and used mightily. Think of Billy Sunday. There's a biography of Billy Sunday, I'd commend it to you. It's called The Redemption of Urban America. Just think of that title, The Redemption of Urban America, talking about the great cities of that vast nation. And you know, men and women, that's what Billy Sunday, that's what he did. That's really what his ministry did. It brought redemption. It brought revival to the great cities of the United States. You know, it's estimated 100 million people. Just take that in now. 100 million people heard the gospel preached by Billy Sunday. And they actually heard him preach the gospel in person. Not just over the television. Remember, there was no television in those days. Not just over the airwaves of the radio. 100 million people heard him in person preach the gospel of Christ. That's staggering, you know, men and women. Over 1 million people converted in his meetings. A revival preacher. The Lord uses instruments. What the Lord can do through one person consecrated to himself. Do you remember the woman of Samaria? It says that many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Did you notice how the verse began? Many of the Samaritans of that city. God used that woman. Just after a conversion, we were talking to the young people in the Bible class this morning about new converts. Well, here's a new convert. The woman at the well, just saved. And she went and spoke of Christ. She confessed the Lord. And that testimony used to bring revival to the city of Samaria. God uses instruments, men and women. and he wants to use you. Do you know what the Lord would say to you this morning? Follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. Here's what the Lord wants to make you, believer. Here's what the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants to make you a fisher of men. He wants you to give your life to him, that he can put his hands upon it and mold you and shape you and make you into a winner of souls. Will you give yourself to the Lord today, that he might take you up and maybe make you an instrument of revival? You remember the challenge of the book of Ezekiel? The Lord says, I sought for a man. And it's still the same today, men and women. The Lord's still looking for men. He's still looking for women to go and labour for him, to go and take a stand in the evil day, to go and be an instrument of blessing. Can I ask you, will you surrender yourself today, perhaps afresh, to God and his will? Will you let the Lord take you and use you as he sees fit, as his will, as his purposes, as his plans may be? Be encouraged, men and women, to see what God could do with you. To see what God could do with your life. He can do far more with it than you'll ever be able to do. Remember that. Be encouraged to see what God can do with your life if you'll let him. You could be an instrument of great blessing. The Lord could make you, we were singing earlier about channels only. Well, the Lord could make you a channel of revival. Remember, that's what Ulster needs today. That's the great need, men and women. Revival preachers. Do you remember men like Haggai? Men who would come and stir up the hearts of the people of God. Is that what the book of Haggai says about his ministry? The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And the result was they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Haggai was a revival preacher. He had a heart-stirring ministry. And I urge you, men and women, pray that God would raise up such preachers, such prophets again in our land. Pray, if it please the Lord, that he might make this preacher a heart-stirring revival preacher too in this city and in the day in which we live. The place of revival, the personnel. One other thing I want you to see, the prayer for revival. Do you remember chapter 2, how it begins? We've highlighted it already in these studies. It bears repetition and pressing upon your hearts. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. Never forget that chapter 2, the entire chapter, or almost the entire chapter, it's full of prayer. The prayer of God's servant. And what I want you to understand is, before Jonah preached, he prayed. And men and women, that's a vital truth. That's a vital principle. That's a vital order. Remember, prayer always precedes revival. That's always God's order. And that is always the case. Wasn't it Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, that said, when God is going to bless, he sets his people a prayer. That's the precursor of revival, a praying people. And we've had good times of prayer in this church. The week of prayer, what a blessing it was. The spirit of prayer in the prayer meetings. God has been setting his people a prayer. And we trust, men and women, those are tokens from his hand of the blessing that he's going to send, the blessing that he's going to bestow upon us. But will you get a hold of this today? Prayer. Here's the pathway to revival, men and women. Prayer precedes revival. Are there many examples of it in the Bible? You think of Pentecost, the great growth the church experienced, the great blessing that was bestowed. That certainly was a time of revival. Mr. Moody called Pentecost a specimen revival. It's an example of what every other true revival move of God will be like.
But remember, before Pentecost, there was the prayer. 10 days of prayer. It says of that upper room where they met, where abode, it's giving the idea that they virtually lived in the prayer meeting. Are we familiar with that, men and women? Are we on that level, that plane of Christianity, of our walk with God, that we're willing to abide, to dwell in the prayer meeting until revival comes? 10 days in the prayer meeting. 10 days of pleading. 10 days of wrestling with God. You remember Paul on the ship to Rome? 276 souls that were saved. Was that not revival, men and women? Every passenger on that ship, imagine it. Every other person that was on that boat, Paul saw them won to Christ. But remember, it came after long abstinence. He said, there stood by me this night the angel of God. Often in the Bible, the reference to the angel of God is a reference to the Lord himself. You know what Paul's saying there? He had spent the night in the presence of God. He had spent the night praying there on the ship. After 14 days, they hadn't seen the sun or the stars. They'd been fasting. The food was all gone. Paul spent the night in prayer. And there came a mighty harvest of souls. I say to you, brethren and sisters, no good just talking about revival and the need of it and the desire for it. Do you know what we need to do? Get down to business and pray for it. Plead to God that it will come. And remember, the Bible's full of such prayers. We read one of them this morning, Psalm 85. Wilt thou not revive us again? Will you take that prayer upon your hearts today? This church knew revival in former times, this denomination as well. You know the great encouragement, men and women, God can repeat it. Wilt thou not revive us again? What a blessing that little word again is. What God did in former times, he's able to repeat it. He's able to bestow that blessing once more. Habakkuk, the prayer was, revive thy work in the midst of the years. You see, as the years roll on, we become indifferent. We become apathetic. We get into a rut. We get set in our ways. And in the midst of the years, the great need of the work is for the reviving move of God among his people. Remember, that word revive means life again. And that's what the church needs. That's what this congregation needs. If we're honest, brethren and sisters, that's what every one of us need. We need the life again, the stirring, the reviving breath of God to be upon our lives. Think of Jabez. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coasts. He's pleading for enlargement, for the moving forth of the work of God. I say to you again, men and women, we need to pray, get down to business, and we need to pray for revival. We need to learn to pray just as these servants of God prayed in a former time. You see, this passage, this book of Jonah, this scene that we've considered especially this morning, if it does anything, brethren and sisters, it should encourage us to pray for the revival breath of God once more. That we would see such a move, such a turning to God in our city and in our land once more. I'll finish just with this thought. The 1859 revival in Ulster, as you know, started in the little prayer meetings down in Kells. Just four men that gathered. And remember, men and women, that's where every work for God begins. It begins in the prayer meeting. You think of the book of Acts. What's the first thing that's recorded after the Lord ascended up to heaven? It's the scene of the church assembling for prayer. Every work for God begins in the prayer meeting of the church. They waited, they persisted until the blessing of God was poured out upon them. Can I say to you, brethren and sisters, this morning, follow that example. Pray for revival. Pray for the blessing of God. I know the prayer meetings at times can be difficult. I know at times they can be hard. I know at times it's a struggle to be there, and it's a struggle to pray, it's a struggle to take part. But remember, men and women, never forget, the prayer meeting is not a playground. The prayer meeting is a battleground. That's how to view it. The prayer meeting is a battle. And I want to urge you today, don't give up. Don't faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Many do faint. Many of God's people faint in the place of prayer. They faint as far as prayer meeting attendance and prayer meeting participation is concerned. Don't give up, brethren and sisters. Don't be fainting. Don't stop coming to the meetings. Don't stop taking part. We need to be like the early church. We need to be like those four men in the schoolhouse in Kells and persist and hold on to God, knowing that He has promised that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He said, I will pour waters upon him that is thirsty. I urge you, men and women, pray on. Don't give up. Ask God today, when we come to the closing prayer this morning, lift your heart, yourself, quietly to heaven, and ask God to give you one thing today. A burden to pray for revival upon this church, upon this city, and upon this land. Let that be your earnest prayer this day and in the days to come. Remember, that's how it comes. We have not because we ask not. We need to ask God to be the starting place where we begin. He'll give us a burden in our hearts to pray for the blessing of God to come down upon us in all its fullness. Revival in Nineveh. One of the greatest revivals ever experienced by man. And I say to you today, may the Lord be pleased. Oh, in His grace, His mercy, and His sovereignty, may the Lord be pleased to bring such a revival to our Mass City at this time, and even the weeks, the months that are yet to come. Think of the words as I finish. The people of Nineveh, that vile, wicked, bloodthirsty city, the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. May the Lord write His word today on all our hearts. 600